This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala qala fil Quran al-Kareem a'udhu billahi min shaitan ar-rajim ya ayyuhalladhina amanu wa taqullaha haqqa tuqatih wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun wa atasimu bihablillahi jami'an wa la tafarraqu. The words I read to you just now are from the Holy Quran. This is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The meaning of it is so deep and so important that our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to read this or recite this in almost every Jummah speech. And so did so many of the companions and their followers and followers after them. I want to emphasize this because the importance of these words will affect us today. Allah says, O you who believe, to have taqwa for Allah, taqwa for Allah. And it's Allah's right that you have this taqwa for Him. And then Allah says, and don't die except in the state of aslama. Don't die except that you are Muslims. Don't die except that you are in the submission to the one true God, doing what He wants you to do. And hold fast, all of you together, to the habl of Allah, the cable or the rope of Allah. And don't divide up. Do not make faraqa. Harama tafaraqa. It is haram for Muslims to make faraqa. Separation and division. If we can overcome these two things, we can make a big difference in this world and for ourselves in the next world. Taqwa is the first, faraqa is the second. Taqwa means to put a partition or hijab between you and something. You say, wait a minute, you want me to have taqwa for Allah, how am I going to put a partition, a hijab, or a curtain between me and Allah? It's not possible. But what it's talking about is a partition between you and the punishment of Allah, the anger of Allah. And what is that? And it's shown to us in the Quran clearly what it is to have this taqwa. It is to firmly believe in Allah, to believe in al-ghayb, to establish our worship, the salah, and to pay the zakah. And to believe in what's revealed to Muhammad and what is revealed to the people before us. And all of this and more is about our taqwa. Fasting the month of Ramadan also helps us build taqwa. Giving charity, especially in times of difficulty for ourselves. Several emails have come to me just in the last 24 hours from right here in India, telling me about difficulties that our brothers and sisters are suffering about wealth, money, position, family, health, diseases, and they're saying, why? 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 Why is this happening to me? Obviously, I wouldn't be able to go into big detail even if I knew all of their situation, but it suffice to say that all of us are being tested by Allah. Each and every one of us, regardless of our age, we're in this situation. Some of it is punishment on us for what we're doing wrong. And some of it is a test. For sure, it is Allah who has put us in this situation. Is that true? Yes. And it's only Allah who's going to get us out of the situation. Is that true? Unfortunately, we say it with our lips, but we don't really act on it. If I need money, I need money bad. I got to pay a bill tomorrow. I'm thinking, who can I call on? Who can I, what's the phone number for that guy? I said he would, let me ask my father. My uncle has some, or I can go to the bank. Astaghfirullah, I know it's haram, but you know, I got to pay my bill and it's haram not to pay the bill. And all of the ones that I mentioned are created by Allah. All of the people I just mentioned were created by Allah. Why didn't I think, go to Allah? Who put me in the circumstance? Allah. And who can get me out? Allah. So now we'll turn our attention to the second word, which is faraqa. To divide or separate the Muslims is haram. It is a very serious offense in Islam, and it's a serious offense in front of Allah. Whoever divides the Muslims up cannot have much to hope for on the Day of Judgment with Allah. The Prophet of Islam, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace be upon him, told us, as the Jews and the Christians divided up into 71 or 72 groups, the Muslims will also divide into 73. In all of them, I will be in the hell fire, except for one. The ones that me and my companions are on today. How many of you have heard about this before? You've heard? Everybody's raising their hand, mashallah. You heard about it. So this means you're not going to be in any of those groups, right? Huh? This means you're going to warn the others. You're going to tell them about the danger of this, right? To be in which group? The group that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions were on, which is called what? It's called what? What group is that called? Sunnis. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called himself a Sunni? No, he didn't. No, he didn't. Shiite? Nope. Sufi? No. No. What group? I just told you. وَلَا تَمُوتُونَ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ. Don't die except that you are Muslim. That's the group. And somebody said, no, but our Sheikh told us we have to have a different name to distinguish us from these people of Ahl Bidah, those who are the improvisers and the innovators who are coming up with stuff. We have to distinguish ourselves. We have to be the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Cool stuff. And our children are listening to this and picking up on it and thinking, okay, I got to be in that group because that's the right group. But then another group come along and said, no, no, no. You have to be on the way of the righteous predecessors. In Arabic, this is the Salaf. And they were righteous. Salih. Salaf, Salih. That's us. But the ayah didn't say that either, did it? Then for sure you don't want to even talk about the word Wahhabi. Don't even start that. Because either you will insult it and say something against the word, which could be an act of kufr, or you will put yourself as though you are a part of the word, which is also an act of kufr. Wahhabi is from what word? Wahhab. Allah is al-Wahhab, yes or no? Allah is al-Wahhab, the bestower. And if you want to be associated with this name of Allah, you have to say Abdul Wahhab. So you have to say we're the Abdul Wahhab. Abdul Wahhab. No, that's too much. I can't do it. The person that they're really making fun of when they say that is a man named Muhammad, actually. Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab. And they didn't want to call them the Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhabis, so they just slaughtered it and called it Wahhabi. But if you said you're Wahhabi, you're saying you're Allah or something like Allah, which is, as I said, bad. And if you make fun of it, you're making fun of the name of Allah. So leave it. Why do you need this name? And you're confusing these children. These guys, they're innocent. They're born innocent. You know that. The Prophet ﷺ told us. The condition of Islam itself is like the condition of a child. The fitra of the child is the fitra of Islam, and the fitra of Islam is the fitra of the child. The best way to explain Islam to a non-Muslim is tell them, you see this child, this baby, this is Islam. Innocent. Willing to obey. Willing to do whatever it takes to please the one in authority. That's what Islam means. And how do you get that when you divide up into these groups? And the children are looking at us, and they will make the same exact mistakes or worse. Because that's the way human beings always do. How many of you remember the story of Noah, alayhi salam? You remember the story of Noah, the prophet that was in the boat and went out into the water and all the other people drowned except for them? You remember the story, yeah? The people of Noah were the first ones to put these grave markers up where righteous, holy people had been buried. They did it because they wanted the next generation to remember those righteous people and the good deeds and the things that they did. They said, these guys were the good guys. Be like them. The next generation came along and said, these guys, you know, they're the righteous ones, but they're pointing at a statue. And some generations later, the people are praying straight to the statue instead of to Allah. How many of you know the story? You know it? This is what happens. Each generation will take the innovation to another level, and another level, and another level, until you got people standing in line in a grave. Well, the person's dead in a grave. 500 years ago, they buried Sheikh so-and-so here. And he was a wali of Allah, and blah, 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 and let's all line up here and go to him and drop stuff at the grave and tell him all about it. Have you heard about this? And when you teach these children to do that, they will add something else to the same thing. Is that true or false? You know it's true. And by the way, what happens if they exhume the grave just to find out for sure who was really there, and they find out it wasn't even a human anyway, it was a camel or a donkey? Oops. And I know I'm going to go out on some real loose ground here when I say this, but there are people all over this planet that have hairs that they go around with saying they have hair from the Prophet ﷺ. Now, maybe you know somebody that knows somebody that has three hairs or four hairs or five hairs. But in all the countries that I visited together, I found out there's enough hairs out there to cover an entire camel. Now, maybe they're all from the Prophet ﷺ. I'm not saying, I don't know. But for sure, I'm not going to consider that hair to bring me any good luck or to keep anything away from me, because the hair is in the creation and only the Creator can do that. Is that true or false? Brothers and sisters in Islam, Some of you, you've known these things for years, but you just didn't feel like going up against your grandparents, your uncles, your fathers. You just let it go. You just be quiet and sit there quietly and, But it's your obligation in front of Allah to make sure that these kiddos, these youth, that they know the difference of what's real Islam and what's not. As far as what group, it's okay to study in the madhab of Abu Hanifa, but you don't call yourself a Hanafi, because you're not. You're not from him. You're not one of his children. Just, I studied it, I know that, this is the good fiqh, we have some good information, fine. But if you said, I'm a Hanafi, then somebody else said, he's a Shafi, now you got an excuse to start fighting right away. Or where do you put your hands when you pray? Huh? I'm happy you came to pray. I'm thrilled to death. You're in the front line, mashallah. So one brother puts his hands here, one puts them here, one puts them there. I mean, you know, as long as he doesn't put them on his head, I think we can get them. We don't need that. And then this idea, when a brother is making mistakes, who in this audience, I see we got a pretty big audience here, who in this audience is the Sheikh of Islam for India, the one who knows everything there is to know about Islam? Would you please raise your hand? Maybe Sheikh Huck, maybe from the sisters, you know everything there is to know about Islam. No? Oh, okay. That's good. Unfortunately, in some masjids, there are some people who think they know everything there is to know. And maybe somebody, he didn't pray before. He wants to, but he just been too nervous about it. You know, I didn't ever pray. I need to start salat. So finally he's going to go in the masjid. And I'm going to pray. Oh, he's been there in Tarawih, you know, but not for real salat. Not for the obligatory salat. So he goes in, you know. And as soon as he walks in, group of brothers sitting there look at him and go, Astaghfirullah. What did I do? He came in on the wrong foot. He came in on the left. Did you see him? Oh, Astaghfirullah. He didn't even know him. You're looking at him and he's like, what? What? Astaghfirullah. Look at his pants. His pants are dragging on the ground. Astaghfirullah. He doesn't know. Or right here in India. This happened in India. It became very famous in Texas because the brothers were telling everybody. Some brothers from India came back to Gujarat to visit after many years. And then they came back to Texas and they were telling everybody about the incident. They said, we went to pray Asr Salat, the afternoon prayer. After the prayer, one brother, he turned to the other one and he said, your prayer does not count. You have to pray again. He said, why? You didn't have on a kufi, brother. That really happened 10 years ago, right here in India. The imam of the masjid went to the brother with the big mouth, and he said, excuse me, when you came in the masjid, did you ask anybody to come in with you to pray? Did you see anybody you knew out there that wasn't praying? He said, yeah. Did you see any of our youth out there? Yeah. Did you ask them to come in and pray? No. He said, but the one who did come in to pray, you tried to scare him away. Who do you work for? Think about it. It is the obligation of the knowledgeable brothers and sisters, those who have real knowledge of deen, to politely take somebody aside and ask them if they would like to know how to worship Allah better. That's how you start it out. You don't start out by saying, "Brother, this is haram." And this is not the way of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is it? Is it? Our youth cannot take this. They will either run away from Islam, or they'll get in one of the groups and be worse than the people that were starting the group in the first place. Some of the most respected names, teachers and scholars in the last century, today are being mocked by people who claim they follow them. The youth 20 years ago who were listening to Sheikh Abdulaziz bin Baz, rahimahullah, and Sheikh Muhammad Nasiruddin al-Albani, rahimahullah. They sat and they listened. And then they went on to teach to the next generation, who then went on to teach to the next ones. And the ones now today, they say, "Sheikh Nasir said, and Sheikh Abdulaziz bin Baz said, and he said, and this and that." And if you go back and look, he didn't say that. Or if he said it, he didn't say it the way that they interpreted it. What's going to happen if we continue to do this? We're going to lose our kids. And shaitan is going to be very happy. Islam is something for everybody. Not everybody is as great as you are. Not everybody's perfect like you are. Some of us, we have faults. Some of us, we're miskeen in front of Allah. Some of us, we'd like to worship Allah and learn without somebody cutting us down and making us feel like an idiot. I'm your brother in Islam. You're my brother in Islam. Islam teaches me to respect you and give you all the honor and the dignity. And I must not scratch even the dignity of any person, Muslim or non-Muslim. Is that true or false? So how would it be in front of the people? In front of the people, if I say something wrong and you go, "Hey, you don't know what you're talking about," what will happen? You discourage and chase away the lifeblood of the future of Islam. Give them a chance. And Allah says about this in the Quran, "Kuntun khayra ummatin ukhrijat lin-nasi ta'muruna bil ma'ruf wa tanhauna 'anil munkar wa tu'minuna billah." How many of you know this verse? How many of you know the rest of the verse? That's not all of it. Anybody know the rest of it? "Wallahu amana ahlul kitabi la kana khayra lahum." And if the people of the book had believed and had iman or faith, that would be better for them. "Wa minhum," from them are those who have iman. "Aktharuhum min al-fasiqun," but most of them are disobedient. So this verse is talking about Jews and Christians as well as Muslims, and showing us something very important. And whenever you do tafsir of Quran, you always go to Quran first. And what we find in the Quran about the Jews and Christians regarding faith, belief in Islam is in Surah Al-Bayyinah. "وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ دِينَهُ حُنَفَاءَ وَيُقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَذَلِكَ دِينُ الْقَيِّمَةِ." And the people before us were not ordered any more than to do this: worship Allah alone without partners. La ilaha illallah. And keep the religion pure for Him, hunafa. Wa yuqimu salah, and establish the salah. Wa yutu zakah, and pay the zakah. Wa dhalika deenul qayyimah, and this is the deen, this is the way of Islam. Most clear. I love these children. I love them so much. I want to see them have a chance. And the only way they're going to get a decent chance is if you and I begin to really learn deen from from Quran and Sunnah and stop dividing up into these groups and stop insulting each other and cutting each other down. Our Prophet ﷺ was asked about this subject, exactly who is a Muslim and who's not. Somebody wants to know, what makes this guy a Muslim or not a Muslim? He said, whoever says La ilaha illallah and faces our Qibla in Salah and pays the Zakah, he's a Muslim. And his life and his property are safe from your hand. And if you said, yes, but brother, these people do X and Y and Z. Send me an email and we'll find out if their X is really wrong, if their Y is really bad, and if the Z is really out of Islam. At the same time, maybe they're doing A, B, C that you don't do, and you've lost some of your deen by not knowing about it. I promise you, there's no group that's perfect out there. It can't be, because Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us about that. Except those who are not in these groups, just plain Muslim. Now, having said that, there are organizations that all of us think highly of, and I'm not talking about that. An organization to help the children, an organization for the orphans, an organization for education, an organization that brings about brotherly love and understanding. Yes. But as soon as you get a name on there and it has a different system of belief or action, be careful. Be careful. Could be shaitan calling you to a group. I'm going to end with this. The Prophet ﷺ drew a straight line in the dirt. He said, this is the straight path to Allah. Then he drew angles off of the straight line. And he said, these are the different groups going out of Islam. What group do I want to be in? Muslim. 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 And I want this for you, for me, and for our children, for the future of Islam.